So we start here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Zayin Amud Bet. The Mishnah is continuing with the issue of Olam Haba, whereas in the first Mishnah we dealt with individuals, whether it was lay people or kings. Over here, the Mishnah is going to deal with large groups of people, generations. So the Gemara starts out, Dor HaMabul, Ein Lehem Chelek L'Olam Haba. Those that generation of the Mabul does not have a Olam Haba, Ve'ein Umdim B'din. And not only do they not have an Olam Haba, but they also do not Enum Din B'din, which seems to be from Rashi later on. The idea of Enum Din B'din is that they already received their punishment. I mean, that in the destruction of the world, the Dor HaMabul, they got their punishment. So they don't have to stand up. They don't have to Enum Din B'din. They don't have to face judgment again. But they also are not entitled to Olam Haba. Shenemar, because it says, Lo Yadon Ruchi Ba'adam De'olam. Lo Din V'lo Ruach. So here, it's the Lo Yadon Ruchi, which is not dwell. Rather, the Gemara, instead of using dwell, is using the word din, and saying that it's a play from the shorish of the word din. And if you don't ruchi ba'adam, is that in lo din, there will be no judgment for them. Also, v'lo ruach, that the lo is modifying both yadon and ruchi. Dor ha'plaga, so the generation of the Migdal Bavel, en lehem chelek olam haba. They have no share in olam haba, shenemar. Hashem dispersed them over the earth. So the fact is that it says it twice, and therefore, since the verb is used twice, one verb is to indicate that they lost it in Olam Hazeh, I mean that they were dispersed in Olam Hazeh, and the additional verb comes to teach you that they were also dispersed in Olam Haba. Anshei Sdom, Ein lehem lechelek l'olam haba. Anshei Sdom as well do not have a chelek l'olam haba. Shneimar, Anshei Sdom ra'im v'chataim l'Hashem me'od. Ra'im b'olam hazeh v'chataim in the olam haba. So they're evil in this world and sinners in the world to come, and therefore they do not gain a chelek in olam haba. Aval omdim b'din. Nevertheless, they do will stand judgment again, as opposed to the others, who their punishment was already meted out to them, meaning that when it comes to Dor HaMabul, they were punished by the destruction of the world and themselves being destroyed. With the Migdal Bavel or Dor HaPlaga, there the punishment was that they were dispersed over the land. That was taken care of already. Stone, even though the people were destroyed and the city was destroyed, but they still are Omdim B'din. Rabbi Chemi Omer, Elu V'Elu Ein Omdim B'din. So Rabbi Chemi says, no, Elu V'Elu, meaning that Anshei Dor HaMabul and Anshei Stom are not Omdim B'din. They don't have in the future they will not be Omdim B'din. Shenemar, Al Kein Lo Yakumu Rishaim B'Mishpat V'Chataim V'Adat Tzadikim. So it says that the Rishaim, Lo Yakumu Rishaim B'Mishpat, the Rishaim will not stand in judgment, Chataim V'Adat Tzadikim, and those that sinned in the group or in the kihilah or tzibur of tzaddikim. So what does it mean? Okay, no yakumu rishayim b'mishpat zedor mabul b'chataim v'edat tzaddikim elu anshei sdom. So neither of these parties will be there or around with Hashem latid lavo, and that's why they are not available for din, or that's why they're not going to be there in the presence of Hashem for the din. So Amru lo, so Chachamim respond to him. The only thing the pasuk says is that not that they will not stand in mishpat at all. It just says that they won't be in the presence of the eidah of the kilah of the tzaddikim. Aval omdim b'adat rishayim, but they will have their place and they will stand, and that will be in the adat rishayim. So based on that, they will then stand judgment according to the opinion of the chachamim. So now Dor HaMidbar, the next two are Dor HaMidbar and adat korach. The Gra has a siman over here, which seems to flip the order, saying that Dor HaMidbar second and Adat Korach would be first. Might relate to Machlokes, the Ramban, and the Ibn Ezra about when Adat Korach exactly took place and what their complaints were about. But we'll read it in the order that our Mishnah has it, just making you aware of the fact that the Gra does seem to change the order here. Dor HaMidbar, En Lehem Chelek L'Olam Haba, Ve'Ein Omdim B'Din. So both they have no chelek olam haba, but they're also not omed bedin because they already got received their punishment because they died in the midbar. Shneimar b'midbar zer itamu v'sham yamutu. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer omer aleihem hu omer, and about these individuals says isfuli chasidai kortei briti alei zavach. So over here, the midbar, what it means is, Rabbi Akiva thinks, itamu, they will die. Visham yamutu is again the olam haba, that they will not get olam haba. But their punishment already was meted out in the fact that they died in the midbar. Blazer, on the other hand, says, no, on them it says, isfilu chasidai, bring to me my chasidim, those that are righteous, kotei briti, those of the covenant. Right, alei zavach, those that bring before me the karbanot. I mean that Hashem, or the view of these individuals, was that they were tzaddikim. There was a positive view of these individuals. So adad korach eina atida lalot. It's a question about adad korach, some a little bit different than others, because adad korach, we know they were swallowed up by the aretz. Shenemar atachas aleihem aretz ba'olam hazeh. Va'yovdu midoch ha'kal de'olam haba. Means that they were lost both from olam hazeh and from olam haba, and that's why it says in the future they will not alot, they will not come up, and that they'll be left down in the ground, down below. On the other hand, that's the position of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Aleim Omer, Hashem memit umechaye morid sheol v'yal. So this is actually tefilat chana, as we know that Korach saw that he was going to have some great descendants from him in the future, and that, as the Medrash tells us, was Shmuel HaNavi, who was descendant of Korach. Korach thought it was himself, but it was rather Shmuel HaNavi. So Chana, in Tfilat Chana, she says, Hashem memitu mechaye Hashem, right, gives death and life. Moricho puts those down into the depths, Vayal, and brings them back up. So in that Dibuah, in that Shirat Chana, she's saying that even those that went down will come back, which means, or the assumption here, is that they did tshuva, right, that they did tshuva when they were going down, and therefore they will in the future be brought up. So now the Gemara is going to spend, basically we're going to spend the rest of today discussing the Mabul and the Midrashim that surround Noach and the Mabul. So Gemara says, we did skip, just a note, that we skipped to the Mishnah, which is in parentheses here, Meraglim, in Laem Lechelek Olam Haba, about the issue of Meraglim, which is actually Parshat HaShavua. We'll see later on in the Gemara the discussion about these issues. Alright, Tanu Rabbanan. Dor HaMabul, Ein Laem Lechelek Olam Haba. They have no chelek lamash, nemar, because it says, Vayimach et kol ha'yukum, asher opnei ha'adama, Vayimach et kol ha'yukum, destroyed anything that was standing, b'olam hazeh. And then, when it's the continuation of the pasuk is, Vayimachu min ha'aretz, that they were wiped off the land, is l'olam haba. So again, the verb, the fact that there's two verbs used to describe the destruction, indicates one verb is v'olam hazeh, one verb v'olam haba, divrei Rabbi Akiva. V'hudu ben teir omer, lo chayin v'lo nidonin. They will not come back to life. They will not live. But lo nidoni, they also will not be judged. Again, this idea of not being judged is that they already got their punishment. They already got what they deserved. All right, so they don't get the olam haba, but they also will not be judged. Shneimar lo yadon ruchi badam deolam lo din velo ruach. So similar to our Mishnah. Again, the word there lo yadon ruchi is my ruach will not dwell right in man, but over here the Gemara is making a play of the word yadon, meaning not yadon. That's not part of the verb. That's there, but it's lo yadon, and then lo ruchi. And there will not be any din, and there will not be any ruach. So, dvar acher, lo yadon ruchi, shlo tei nishmatan chozeret lenidna. So they will not, their nishamot will not return, to come around again, or to be, placed in the bodies again, whatever the, exact meaning of their nishama. Coming back or non nidana means, but that they will not be entitled to that either. Rav Nachum bar Yosef Omer Achilu B'Shasha Kodesh Baruch Hu Makzir Neshamot Defkarim Meitim. Even when Hashem returns the neshamot to those the corpses, I mean Tchad Meitim Neshmatan Kashelahem BeGehinom. Their neshamot will still be either stuck in Gehinom, or their nishamot will still be on fire, and therefore they will singe or burn their corpses when they return to them, so there won't be any bodies left, because they will still be on fire, they will still be burning in, the nishamot will still be burning in Gehinom. Alright, so that's the view of RC of the Dor HaMabul, very negative view of the Dor HaMabul, and the reason that he says that, Shenemar, it says, Taru, right, Chashash, Teldu, Kash, Uchem, Eish, Tochalchem. Right, so you should be worried, or taru chashash teldu, you'll be born kashu chachem, that your spirit will be made out of straw and esh tochalchem, and the fires will consume you. So it's the same idea here, that the nishamot, which are full of fire, will consume the kash, or the corpses, which are the, right, the kash in this case, that are the consumable or flammable material. Dor Mabul, no nidga'u, el bishril tova sheyishpia lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Dor Mabul, the sin that came about was because they became haughty for all the goodness that they had. Everything that went well. Everything went well for them, and therefore they rejected HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Gemara is now going to quote a sequence of psukim in Yov. The sequence of psukim is Yov discussing about, basically, Tzadik V'Ra'lo and Rasha V'Tovlo. So this is the aspect of Rasha V'Tovlo. So he has a description of how the Rasha'im lived their lives and how good things are for them. And that the Gemara is applying to Dor HaMabul. So he says in Yov, Maktiv Behem, what is it written about them? Batehem Shalom Mipachad. Their houses are quiet and tranquil from fear. Velo Shevet Eluka Alehem. And the rod, the staff of God is not upon them. Right? They're not hit by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. They don't see any bad. Uchtiv. So again, the subsequent Pasuk. Shoro Ibar Velo Yagil. Their oxen are able to impregnate, right, without any failure. Tifalet parato, really means to spit out, but here it means to, their parot will give birth, right, their cows will give birth. Velo tishakel, they do not miscarry. Uchtev, again, subsequent pasuk. Yushalchu katzon avilehem, they send out their young ones like the sheep. Ve'aldehem, and their children, yirakedun, they prance about. I mean, right? It's wonderful. Like in Eretz Yisrael today, right? All the children and the young ones go out by themselves and prance about. So this is that. They went out with any worries, like the sheep. Uchtiv. And it says, Isu. And now here it says, I don't know why it says Betov. It's really Kitov. Isu Kitov V'chinor. Right? They will, you know, go about and be held on high like the drum and the harp. And they will celebrate to the sounds of the flutes. So it's describing a very, very wonderful life. But again, Yov is saying this about the Rasha. It's people who did bad, and yet all goodness is coming to them. Why is it that all this goodness is coming to them? So over here they're talking about the Dor HaMabul. The reason that they got so haughty was that things were going well. There was no check. There was never any, right, downfall when something bad happened. So Chtiv, and then this next pasuk is very difficult. What is written in the subsequent pasuk, if you were to continue the flow, and the Gemara is actually going to quote the pasuk afterwards as well, but if you quote pasuk Yud Gimel in Iyov from that parak, it says, Yichalu betov yimehem, uverega she'ol yechatu. Right, so they will, their lives will go by all in happiness, and then in a moment, they'll die. I mean, they don't suffer. They die an instant death, and they go into the grave. That's what it's written in the pasuk in Yov. Nothing to Ivalu is actually the ktiv there. Not the kri is Yichalu, but it's Yichalu betov yimehem. But the problem is that Shnotam b'nimim does not exist in that pasuk. There is another pasuk in Yov. It's a pasuk in Yov in Perek, in Perek, Lamed Vav, pasuk Yud Aleph. There is a pasuk in Yov that reads like this: Yichalu yimehem betov, ushnehem b'ne'imim. That their days will go by in goodness, and their years, right, in pleasantness. So part of the pasuk looks like ushnotehem b'ne'imim, looks like the pasuk from Perek Lamed Vav. The yimehem tov in neither case is right, because yimehem tov is right, I'm sorry, in the Perek Lamed Vav, where here our pasuk says tov b'yimehem. Problem is that Yivalu, which is found in our pasuk, is the ktiv in our pasuk, whereas Yichalu is the kri in our pasuk, and in Perek Lamed Vav it's Yichalu without any kri ktiv. So I don't know which one they're referring to. The idea is the same, which is the life is good. They have a good life. Everything's pleasant for them. What? It's Yichalu. It's Yichalu. Yeah. So now the Gemara continues. Ktiv ubrega she'ol yechatu. So you see over here they got the rest of the pasuk, which is at the end of the pasuk, which is that in a moment they die. They don't suffer anything. They go to die. V'hi gama shamru lakel. And this caused them to say what's in the next pasuk in that parak, in parak Chaf Aleph, which is, sur mimenu. No, it's actually, it's vayomru lakel. Right, so the pasuk is actually, I don't know why they say shamru lakel, they say to God, and the Gemara does not quote the first half of the pasuk, the first two words of the pasuk, which is vayomru lakel. Alright, it's actually missing. But alright, vayomru lakel, sur mimenu, leave us alone. Vidat derachecha lo chafatzno. Right? We don't, your ways, we don't want. We don't need anything from you. Mashakai kinavdenu. Who's God that we should worship him? Umal noil kinif gabo. What will help us if we pray to him? Amru plum tzrichim anu lo. A little tipashok shamim. What do we need God for except for the rain? You know what? And even us, we don't even need the rain. Yesh lanu niharot. We have rivers, umayanot. And we have springs. You know what? We don't need God at all. Amar kash brocho, betovash yishpat lehem ba, machasin oti. And the goodness that I gave to them, they are angering me. Uva ani dan otam. And through that, I will judge them. I will give them their punishment. Shenamar, nida keneged nevi'ah. Ani hinini mevi mabul mayim al aretz. That's probably backwards, because Chazal are saying that the reason that they, why did Chazal say that the reason that they said that, oh, didn't we need God for his rain? Oh, we don't even need God for rain, is because they know what the punishment is. The punishment was in Mabul. So they know that they were dan b'mayim. So they know they're dan b'mayim, it must have been that their chait was b'mayim. So that's what Chazal back into. I assume that the problem is that we don't need God at all. What does it mean we don't need God? We don't need God for the rain. We don't need God for the water. We have all these mayanot. We have all these ne'arot. We don't need God at all. So similar type of idea that by Anshei Sdom, that you see the Pasuk in Yechezkel says also that they had all goodness. Everything was good for them. And all that goodness that happened for them, which the Gemara is going to discuss a little bit on, I think, Kufiud, is that they had all this goodness, but they didn't want to share it with anybody. They didn't want it. Right? They didn't help out the poor and those that were less fortunate. So again, the idea that when Hashem gave goodness to these people, instead of using the goodness towards good means and ends, you to help others or to thankful to Hashem, again, they turn it and use it either against Hashem to be bogeid b'kodesh baruch hu, or they're bogeid, they don't help out others. So in all these cases, they are punished severely because of that b'gida, because of not acceptance of hakarat hatov. So now, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Dora Mabul lo nidga'u el bishvil galgala ayin shodomeh lamayim, that they became haughty because of their eyes. I mean that they went after their eyes, and therefore they're going to be punished through that same thing that's the eye. What the Gemara is going to point out here is that the eye is like a mayan, is like a spring. Because the spring, either because it comes out of a small hole, just like the eye is on a small hole, or it's the shape of the mayan, whatever that comparison is, shenemar, or the fact that they come from the same shorish, mayan, ayin, so I don't know, whatever the connection is that they see, shenemar, v'ichulahem nashim mikol asher bacharu, they took women from wherever they wanted, so that's what they were, right, noteh acharai ayin, wherever they saw, whatever they wanted, they took, v'yichach dan otam b'mayim, therefore Hashem dan them with mayim, shodomeh legalgal ayin, shenemar, nivku'u kol mayanot tohom rabah, so all the mayanot, right, opened up, and all the rabot, the storehouses above, were opened, and when the rain came down on them.
In Hebrew, the eyes, it's called Arubat Ayin.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. That's interesting. Which the...
The hole.
Oh, the socket of the eye is called the Arubat Ayin. Oh, that's very interesting. Thank you. Rabbi Yochanan, Dora Mabul, B'Rabah Kilkulu, U'B'Rabah Nidonu. They sinned gravely, and therefore they were punished gravely, but obviously the Gemara has the word Rabbah, this Midah Keneged Midbah, and the word Rabbah itself. Rabbah Ki L'Kolush Emar V'Ariyar Hashem Ki Rabbah Ra'at Adam, and that's the word Rabbah, that they were, you know, they were evil, tremendously evil. U'Rabbah Nidonush Emar Kol Mayanot Tohom Rabbah, right, of the great depths were opened up. So again, the Gemara here is very focused on this Midah Keneged Midah, of the aspect of where they sinned, the punishment is meted out in a very, very direct way. Rabbi Yochanan Shlosha Nishteru Mehem, there are three of those mayanot that remain. So mayanot tahom, which we call hot springs, right? Because they come up from the tahom, they're heated up by the tahom, they come up. After Hashem took back or closed up all the mayanot, these hot springs, there were three that were left, Bluad Gader, V'chamei Tveria, V'inaya Rabatid Biram. So these three places, obviously, Chamei Tveria, you know, but these were obviously springs, hot springs that they were aware of, that they knew, and therefore they said that these are the three that were left over, that were left over from the time that Hashem opened up all the Mayanot Tahom. There were a couple of the Mayanot Tahom that were left back over that are these geological formations that get heated underground. Right. That's true. I mean, it could be Machlokes Midrashim, which is not an issue, but yes, that's possible. Right. Or unless he left them over. It was always there, and he left them over afterwards too. I mean, you can answer that. Right. Kichi shkid kol basar tokol aretz. What does that mean? Rabbi Yochanan, malamed shirbiu be'emal chayav, chayav behema. They were mixing species. Va'akol al adam. And there was bestiality. Va'adam al akol. Oh, the summer of you. Abba barka'ano. V'chulam chazru. All of them came back, chutz mi tashlume, meaning that all animals today are megudar ba'arayot, they stick to their species, except for this tashlume, which Rashi doesn't know what it is, I saw a water rail, was the explanation that I saw. This type of bird that does not stay within its species. Vayomer. What do you have? Oh, Tushlami. All right, thank you. Okay. Thank you. All right. Vayomer. Here it says Hashem. It's, in the pasuk it's Elokim. Vayomer Elokim Lenoach Ketzko Vasar Balifanai. So, Amar Yochanan Bore Kama Gadol Kuchashel Hamas. See how great the strength of Hamas is, not the organization, but theft, stealing. Shrei Dor Mabul Avru Alakol V'lo Nechtam Alehem Gzar Dinam Asher Pashtu Behem Begezel. They did everything wrong, but yet in the end, Hashem only brought around their Gzar Din when they started to steal from one another. Shneamar Kimala Haaretz Hamas Mipneihem Vini Meshkitam Et Haaretz. So because of this Hamas, that's what Hashem says, the Gzar Din comes because of the Hamas. Uchtiv, it says, Hey Hamas, come to Mate Resha. And if the Hamas comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the theft, like a staff that's implanted, of an evil staff that is planted in the ground, lo mehem, right, not from them, velo mehom anam, and not from their multitudes, velo mehem, and not from their offspring, velo noabahem, and none of them yearns for me. So the Hashem is saying that the Hamas, this stealing has come like a evil rod or spirit that is planted, and lo mehem, I don't get anything, no, I don't get anything from them, from their multitudes, not from their offspring. Lo mehem, there's nobody that yearns for me. So Amar Lazar, Malamed, Shizukaf Atzmo Kimakel, V'amad Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Resha, the Hamas, came and stood like a staff before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'amar, V'nav Yerushalom, lo mehem, v'lo mahamunam, v'lo mehem mehem, v'lo abahem. So he said, it's as if he's expressing this to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this, right, you don't need any of these anymore. Right, you have no value in these individuals anymore. The Hamas became the prosecutor of these individuals because you see they're not doing anything for you and no one yearns for you. The fact that they're performing Hamas means they've lost total touch with you. Kadosh Baruch Hu, they don't even treat others properly. Forget about there's no Ben Adam Makom, there's no Ben Adam the Chaveru anymore. There's no use in them. So, Tanya, Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Af Al Noach Nechtach Gezar Din. Noach was included in the Gezar Din. Rather than saying that it's an interesting nuance, it's the difference between duchuya and hutra. I mean that was the din gzar din on Noach, and then he was just matzachin and he was let off. You know, he got it out easy. Or was it that the gzar din was never placed on Noach, which is what you always think that Noach wasn't included in the gzar din? No, the Gemara here says he was included in the gzar din. He was not necessarily ra'ui to be saved or to have the generation saved on his behalf, but nevertheless, Hashem has rachamim in the end. So matzachin meinei Hashem, plus Hashem needs him to have some sort of continuum afterwards. Any remnant, right. So now, Shneamar, nichamti ki asitim. V'noach matzachin meinei Hashem. Right, I regret having made them, and Yod Noach Matzachin Bnei Hashem. Now, the word Vayinachem has two manifestations or two meanings, which is Vayinachem can mean to console, right, or Vayinachem can mean to regret, right. It's used in both cases. The question is, when Hashem says Nichamti Ki Asitim Benoach Matzachin Bnei Hashem, and that is Vayinachem Hashem Ki Asat Adam Baretz. So Hashem regretted, or it sounds like regretted making man on land. Ki Atar Avdim Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yafei Asiti Shitikanti Lehem Kvarot Baretz. So over here, Vayinachem is not regretting, rather Hashem was consoled. It's a good thing that I made them have graves in the ground. So my mashma, how do you know that here the Vayinachem means to console? Chtiv Acha Vayinachem Hashem, Chtiv Atam, Vayinachem Otam, Vayidaber Libam. It's by Yosef to his brothers, that he's consoling them after they come back when their father has passed away, and they're begging him for forgiveness. He says, don't worry about it, I'm going to take you, V'chalkaladchem, V'et B'nechem, I'll take care of you and all your children. And so, over there, he says, Vayinachem Otam, he's trying to console them. So that means over here, the word, Menichamti Ki Asitim, right, or not Menichamti Ki Asitim, Vayinachem Hashem Ki Asat Adam Baretz, is not that he regretted, but rather he was consoled that he made it from the ground. And in the end, he could be buried. He'd go back to the afar that he came from, that he's going to be buried in the afar. Vigadamre, lo yafe asiti. This is the other explanation of it, right? Shintikanti lem kvarot baretz. It's not a good thing that I made them, you know, graves on the ground. Tivach vayinachem. It says over here that Hashem vayinachem. Iktav vayinachem Hashem al ra asher diber lasot leyamo. Hashem, right, retracted or went back on the bad that he intended for his people by the, when Moshe begs him for forgiveness by the Maseh Ha'egel. So over there you see vayinachem is to regret or to return or to reverse one's position. So, and then Hashem is, over here, they're reading the word, Vayinachem is to regret. So the two possibilities are, one is Yafei Asiti, that I'm going to wipe them out, the Rishayim, like this, because they're going to go back to the earth. That's the first interpretation, which is Hashem was consoled that he could wipe them out and send them back to the ground. The second one is Lo Yafei Asiti, I don't really want to wipe them out. I regret having made man, but I also regret that I have to wipe them out. Maybe he'll do tshuva, maybe he could come back. So the fact that I'm going to wipe them out, right, is a regretful, because then I don't have a chance to do tshuva anymore. So now, the Gemara continues, Ela Toldot Noach. Noach, Ish Tadik, Tamim Haya B'Dorotav. So the famous Machlokas of Midrash, Harav Yochanan B'Dorotav, V'lo B'Dorot Ocherim. In his generation, but not other generations. Rish Lakash Amar, B'Dorotav, Choshkein B'Dorot Ocherim. So which might relate to your statement before, what does Matzachin mean? May that here he was a righteous in his generation, he wouldn't righteous in other generations. Amri Chanina Mashal, the Rabbi Yochanan, the Ma'adavar Domeh, the Chavit Shal Yayin, Shaitam Munechet, V'Matev Shal Chometz. You have a barrel of a wine that's in a cellar full of vinegar. It's down in the cellar vinegar, the room wine smells terrific. Shlobim Koma, you bring it out into other barrels, other areas where there's wine, and Rechanodef doesn't smell so well, it doesn't really give a fragrance that is so appealing. You have a bottle of perfume that is in a place that is foul smelling. In that place it is, smells nice. It's pleasant. And even a place where there are lots of perfumes are aromatic in the place, it still smells nice. So that it's not unique, that it has a smell that is not, is inherently good, and it applies everywhere, as opposed to wine, which is in a relative sense, has a good smell. But if it's in a place where there's other good smells, everything, you won't smell the wine. It's only relative to the vinegar that it's good. And that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan says. Noach was relative to his generation. He was a tzaddik, but not a objective tzaddik. Because Reish Lakish says that he's objectively a tzaddik, not just in his generation. Amar Rabbi, if man sinned, why are the behemoth held? He had a large wedding set out, made all the delicacies that he's going to serve there, and then his son passed away. He dispersed the chuppah. Why would I need this chuppah anymore? So I mean that there's no reason to hold on to something if the whole purpose or the individual who is made for is not around anymore. So the whole purpose of the behemoth, the animals and all that was in the world was for the human beings. If the human beings aren't here anymore, then what's the point of keeping it around? What do I need all these things that are there to serve as man? If man's not there, what do they need to be around as well? Everything that was on dry land died. The fish were not affected by the mabu. And that's part of why the fish represent this idea of the because number one, they weren't affected by the, they're not affected by the mabul. They're in the sea. They're not captured, and then they're not seen. They're not visible. So they were the ones that the Gim Shveyam survived. Abra Rabbi Yosi min Kesari, Mariyaktiv, Kalhu al Pnei Mayim, that he floats nicely along the waters. Tikulal Chelkatam Baretz, their areas, their land has been forsaken. So this is different than what we normally associate, that Noach was out there trying to arouse the people and trying to bring them back with tshuva, but he was not passive. He was active in trying to bring them back. That otherwise Hashem is going to bring a flood and your bodies will float along the water, kizikim, like empty flasks. So that's what it means, kalhu al pnei amayim. You'll be floating along the waters. And from them, there will be a curse to everyone else in the world. Either that means that the whole world will be destroyed because of them, not just them, but the whole world will be destroyed, or that in the future, people will curse. Say, oh, you should be like the Dor HaMabul. And they'll curse using that, what happened to them, it should happen to you. So people use them as a curse. Lo yifne derech kramim. And so this, the pasuk is talking about people who take the easy life. Kahu al pnei amayim, they float along the waters, and they are basically thieves that have to sneak away, and they're always running away from the authorities. They're swift because they don't want to get caught. But they're tukulal chalatam baretz. They don't bother to do regular work. They don't take care of their fields. Their fields become overgrown. They can't walk through their paths of their vineyards anymore because they're overgrown. Why? Because they make more money. Their business is better stealing than it is from doing work that is morally and ethically proper. So that's that's what the pasuk in Pshat is talking about. Over here, the Gemara is saying, oh, that's exactly what Noach is chastising them. If you don't straighten your ways, if you keep up this chamas, you keep up all this bad behavior, you're going to end up, right? Not that this is there describing them, but this is how you're going to end up. You're going to end up as corpses floating around on the water, and you are going to be, your land will be destroyed because your things will be cursed because of you. Now, I would skip. Does not make sense here, based on the mashal that's coming up, so I would skip that. Next is Amar Lo, Umi Ma'akev. So he says, well, so they said, what's waiting? What's Hashem waiting for? Well, they say to Noach, well, you know, if Hashem's so angry, why is he waiting? So Amar Lam, pray that Achad Yeshli Otzi Mikem. Right? He said, there's one more. I have one more person that I'm waiting for. Who's the Preda Achat? That is Metushelach. And Hashem wanted to wait until Metushelach passed it away. Once he passed away, then he brought the Mabul. Simkein, lo nifne derech kramim. If that's the case, we're not in any rush. I mean, if the Mabul's not coming tomorrow, we're not going in. We're not going to clear out the ways. We're not going to do the tshuva. So that's how you know that. That's why the other phrase doesn't fit in, because if lo nifne derech kramim means that we will not clear out the pathways, means that we won't do tshuva. So then the other statement wouldn't make sense. All right, derech shava. My dichti, what does it mean? Lapid buz lashtut shanan. Right, there's a torch of scorn for those that are complacent in their thoughts. Nachon l'moadei ragel. Right, and it is the destiny to be among those that slip. That he was chastising them. V'amar lahem dvarim shem kashim kalapidim. He said to them things that were as harsh. And I don't hear, lapid may not be a torch, but rather lightning. Right, may sharp as lightning. V'ayu mivazinoto. And they were, right, they were disregarding him, they were treating him with disrespect. Amrulo Zakin, Mr. Old Man there. Teva Zu Lama, what are you gonna do with this Teva? Amrulem, Akosh Baruch Hu, Mi'alechem et Mabul. There's a flood coming. Amru, Mabul, Shama. What type of flood? I mean, flood, maybe you could have, it doesn't have to be water, right? A flood of something. So, Im Mabul Shel Ish, you want a flood of fire? Hey, Yeshano Devar Achar, we have something. We don't need that. We don't need your Teva. V'alyata Shema. Yeah, there's Ayata, which is a fireproofing agent. Or is there some animal that's fireproof? Well, we got our fireproofing agent, and we don't have to worry about it. I mean, earlier talked about the salamandra that they put on, people, that was a fireproofing material. Over here, there's Ayata, which was some sort of fireproofing material. Vimshal Maim, if he's gonna bring a Mabul Maimu, maybe Mina Imana Aretsu, maybe if he's bringing up from down below, Yeshana Shiot Shel Barzel. We have these, we call them iron or metal platforms. There we have Shanu Mechapim Bam. That's ours. We can cover over the land. I don't know if that means we can block the waters from coming up, or we can raise the platform of the earth so the waters will run under us. Right? Something akin to what's going on in the Gulf of Mexico. Now we have to try to, a hole that's spring, they have to try to plug the hole. So it's that type of thing. We can handle this. We know how to deal with this. V'imina Shamayim Umevi. And if he is coming from the Shemayim, the waters, Ishlanu Davar, the Ekev Shemo. That it's called Ekev Amrile Ike Shemo. We have this, whatever this protection is, that is going to be a protect us or shield us from the rains that come from above. So we're okay. We have some waterproofing. We have big boots or whatever it is that we have that are going to protect us from the rains. So Amar Lahem, who may be, may ben ikvei raglichem. Guess what? None of this stuff's going to work. You know why? Because the water's going to come out of your heels. Right? Shenemar, nachon lemo'adei ragel. It's going to be destiny of those that slip. I mean, it's going to cause them to slip. The punishment will come out of their legs themselves. Because that way they can't, you know, it won't help you. Putting up those platforms and the waterproofing or the shielding, none of this is going to help you because the water is going to come right out of you. So you can't, none of this protection will help you. I mean, his point is, you can't hide from Hashem. Hashem's going to punish you. You're not going to be able to stop it. Tanya, Meme Abul Kashim Kishich Vadzera. They were as hard or as destructive as a Kishich Vadzera. Rashi points out that means Rotchin. They were as hot, right, and thick. Shinamar Nachon Ma'adei Ragel. So that's the play over here, Nachon Ma'adei Ragel, those that go about, which is a, I don't know, it's a Lashon Nekiyah about the Sheikh Vazer. Amar Avchizda, Barotchim Kilkulu, Bavera, Barotchim Nidonu. They sinned in the hat, and then therefore they were punished in the hat. Ktivacho, Veshoku Amayim. Uktivatam, Vachamata Melech, Shachacha. Right, so that is about Shoku Amayim. So Shoku Amayim is actually that the waters were stopped, meaning that they reached a plateau level. That means the anger of the king was placated, which was, right, it was reduced. He was ruga, right? He was felt calm from his anger. So if we say at the end of the Mabul, where the waters start to recede or they've plateaued, that means that it's referencing something beforehand was not shalcho, but rather was hot beforehand. So then it says, Mighty Bam Shal Shivat Yamim. Shem already had said that the Mabul was coming. What is this extra 7 days? There were 7 days. So Amarav, Eilu Yimei Evilut Shal Metushalach. These are the days of Evilut after Metushalach died. To teach you Shes Bedam Shal Tzadikim Akvim Et Parnot Aval. Not only at Tzadikim prevent Parnot Aval, but even their Hespedim and their Evilut prevent the bad from coming. Dabar Acher, the Shivat Sheshina Alehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Seder Breshit. So the Hashem changed the Seder Breshit on them. Shishina, what did he do? Shaita Chama Yotzah Mimarav. The sun started to rise on the west. Shkad Mimizrach and set in the east. Meaning that this is what we would know if famous is Mamar Nigadim by Yeshua Berman about this. That after the Mabul, there's really a recreation of the world that follows the Shivat Yimei Breshit. That is parallel to the Shivat Yimei Breshit. So Hashem really recreates the world. So if Hashem is recreating the world, it makes a lot of sense that during the Mabul, that Hashem has suspended or destroyed the Maaseh Breshit, overturned Maaseh Breshit. And that's exactly what the Gemara is saying here. That there was a Maaseh, there was Shivat Yimei Breshit. You have a Mabul which undermines or undoes Maaseh Breshit. And afterwards, you're going to have a redoing of the Maaseh Breshit. Dvar Acher, Shekaval Ayan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zman Gadol V'Acher Zman Katan. Hashem gave him make a second chance. He said, what? First of all, I'll give you 120 years, and then I'll give you a last chance, 7 days, last chance. Dvar Acher, the Shivat Yamim, Shitimah Me'in Olam Abba. He gave them 7 days of respite, where they touched, it was like Olam Abba, because they should do Matov'ah Mina'o Mehem, what they're about to lose. They should really know how bad this is, what they just gave up. They're about to give up this, Olam Abba, they should know what it is. Mikol HaBe'emah Torah Tikach Lecha Shivah Shiv'ah Ishto. Ishut Be'emah Amit Lehu. Since when do animals have Ishut? Generally, animals do not, while they stay in their species, they do not necessarily have, it's not a one-on-one, right, monogamous relationship in animals. Mishut means not that literally they keep up some Ishut, but rather that they stayed within their species, that they did not sin with, a man had not sinned with them. So how do you know this? How did Noach know that they did not sin? I mean, how does Noach know this? So Amar Avgizda, Sheviran Lifnei Teva, that they walked him in front of the Teva, Shkola Teva, Kolototo, Biyadua, Shalom Nevdan, Behen Revera, that whatever the Teva took, we know there was no Avera, Chol Sheena Teva, Kolototo, Biyadua, Shalom Nevdan, Bar Avera. Anything that Teva did not accept, we knew there was an Avera, similar type of thing by the Aron, walking the women in front of the Aron, or the people of Yavesh Gilad, they have to know who they should kill by David. That this type of a mechanism for determining who gets killed or who is the choice one, you walk him in front of the Aron, or over here it's going to be the Teva, the holy place, the place that is designated by Hashem, and that indicates who should be or who's chosen out of those individuals. Right. So Rabbi Abba Omar, Me'otan Abayim Me'alehen, those that came by themselves. And only those that didn't sin came to the Teva. You don't have to worry about it. Asel Echad Tevat, Atse Gofer, my Gofer, Amravada, Amrei Debei Rabshila, Zu, Mavliga, Farmila, Gumish. So types of cedars, types of wood. I don't have anything to add here about what exactly are these types of woods, but they are some sort of cedar, strong wood that was used for the Teva. Tzolar Tasel Teva should make a light or a window for the Teva. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Noach Kava, Kava Ba'avanim Tovot, put in some jewels or margaliot and precious stones. Kadesh Shemi wrote Lechem Kitzorayim, so this will light you up in the like the afternoon. So Tzolar, I know there's a machlokas in the right. Is it Even Tova or a chalon? So over here, remember, before we just had the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, it's the famous that they said the midrashim are consistent. It happens to be that Rabbi Yochanan is consistent over here. What did Rabbi Yochanan say about Noach? Noach is tzaddik. Tzaddik haya b'dorotav, but not b'dorot achirim. Therefore, what does Rabbi Yochanan say was the tzohar? Is the avanim tovot and the margaliot? It was not see through because he was not at tzaddik. He was not able. He was not worthy of seeing what was going on outside. He had the light inside. Other than Reish Lakish, which here, the other, we don't have the other side here, but the other side is that it was really a chalon that he was able to see out. And that would be Reish Lakish's opinion, which is Reish Lakish, who believes that he was a tzaddik gamur, that he's entitled to a window. So at least Rabbi Yochanan, according to that explanation, Rabbi Yochanan is consistent in that he gives the Torah, he calls it Zabanim Tovot, and he says that he's only a tzaddik bedorotav. Velamati chalena milamala, it should reach a point of a ama above. Said the Hachihu the Kaimel. Gemara says that's just a practical consideration. Otherwise, the Mteva would topple over. It would be the water would, you know, sit on the roof and sink it. You need a pointy roof so that the water spills off the sides of the teva. Just a practical consideration. Tachtiim shniim ushlishim tasa. So what are these levels? Three levels. Dana tachtiim lezevel. Bottom level is for garbage. Emtzayim lebeima. The middle level is for the animals. Elyonim laadam. And the top level was for man. He sends out the Orev. The Rev had some nice claims against Noach. Your master, meaning Hashem, hates me, and you hate me. That the Torim had seven, and me, it's just two of us here. So, I mean, first of all, we see that Hashem likes the Behemot Torot a lot better than he likes the Orev, which is not a Behemot Torah. Says, "V'ata asnein tani shata meniach mimin shiva v'sholeach mimin shnayim." Here, you have to send someone out. What do you have a choice? There are a bunch of them with seven, and you can pick the one, or there are a bunch of them with twos, and you pick the one with the two. So there's only one left. And why would you do that? In Birkiya be sar chama or sar tzina. If I get hit by the cold or by the heat, lo nimtza olam chaser briyachat. The world's going to be left without now one species because I'm leaving my wife behind, and all you're taking is me. So Shema Lishtiat Tatsarich. Maybe you want to, you know, you want to spend some time with my wife. So hello, Basha Bemutali Nesarli. So Noah responds to him, I can't even be with my own wife. But Nesarli Lo Koshke, what am I going to be interested in your wife? And that's what the Gemara says there. Uminal and Nesru. How do we know that Noah could not be with his wife? Tikhtiv, Uvata Le Teva Ta Uvanecha Vishtecha Vishemanecha Itach. So over there, they're all listed out separately. Uchtiv. So come out. So when you went in, you mean you had to go in separately, and then they came out separately, until, right, that's when they got permission to, once again, procreate and live family life. Here we see the word Tashmish Amita, because all of them are enumerated separately. It's Ata, Uvanecha, right? You and your sins, your children, Vishtecha Shevanecha. So over there, it's him and his sons, and then the wives are listed separately. When they come out of the Teva, it says, Ata Vishtecha, Uvanecha, Uvanecha. Then the wives are juxtaposed to the individuals. So the difference when they go in is that they're separated, and when they come out, they're rejoined as couples. So you see from that, that while they were in the Teva, they were not entitled to Tashmish Amita. Tarabanan, Shlosha, Shimshu B'Teva, Ukulam Laku. Three of them violated that, and were, they did procreate inside the teva, and they were punished for that. The kelev, the orev, and cham. The kelev is nikshar. The kelev is always now held by a reins. He walked around with a leash on him. So that's evidence that you should have a leash on a dog. Is the fact that this is his punishment for having bia in the teva. Orev rak. It's a very strange thing. Rashi says that he spits. The orev spits, and that's how they impregnate the female orevs. That he spits the semen through to the other bird, and whatever that means. And the cham is laka, boro, in the color of his skin. He was punished with the color of his skin. That was his punishment for having bia in the teva. So it sends out the yona to see if the waters had receded. The ofotorim are with the tzadikim. How do you know? Because it says, Ito. It's supposed to be Orev. It doesn't say but Orev, Mi'ito with him. Over here it says Mi'ito from Noach. So therefore the, you know, the Of Tahor, right, has a place along with the Tzadikim. Bine, Ale Zayet Taraf Bifia, it brought back a branch, an olive branch. Amra Lazar, Amra Yonah, the Fine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'no Shalom, Yiyu Mizonotai Merurim Kezayet, U'Mesurim Bi'adecha. My sustenance should be bitter as the olives, right? But it should be in your hands. They should not be sweet like honey. Musarim biyad basaradam and dependent on humans. So this idea that, right. I want to depend on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'd rather be in the hands of a Hashem, right? And we say in Tachnon all the time, right? I'd rather be niplana biyad Hashem, right? But though, right. That's right. With Hashem, at least there's a chance of rachamim, there's a chance of things changing. There's a chance that I'm dependent. I have a relationship with you, Hashem. Right? That's the famous, the drash on the snake, who, what was the punishment that he had to eat? Me'afar tochal, is that Hashem is basically severing their relationship. You're not going to need me anymore. You can get afar anywhere you need. That severing of the relationship. Here, the Yonah is saying the exact opposite. I want to have the relationship, and therefore make sure that my mizonot is dependent on you. That's why we live in Eretz Yisrael. With that idea that we're dependent on the rain, is the idea that we will always have a relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the exact opposite, right? Of what everybody thinks, they have to get rid of the rain problem. No, the rain is to say that we're dependent on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Obviously, we need to solve the water problem, but the rain itself is an indication of that relationship, the importance of our relationship, and the Yonah, which is the Mashal, B'nai Yisrael, Nimshalu LeYonah, that we are the one, that's the way we want. We want to be dependent on Hashem, and not dependent on men. Right. My mashma, the high taraf lishna de mizonehu. I don't know that what taraf means to eat. Tiftev, hatrifeni, lechem chuke, right? Grab me or give me my sustenance, what I deserve. The mishpichotehem, yatsu min ateva, they came out in families. Amiruchen, the mishpichotam, velohem. This is a very enigmatic statement. It's very hard to understand. Rashi claims that even though in the teva, they weren't allowed to procreate, but nevertheless, they stayed separate. Species stayed separate, and not only they stayed separate, they didn't eat from the same avus. They did not eat from the same trough. They were all fed separately, and they ate separately, and they stayed separately. That's what Rashi says. I think the Yad Ramos says that they were, the animals became, even though they were fed in the teva, they were weakened over time. They were weakened over time in the sense that they were not sustained. I mean, inside of 12 months, they couldn't feed them to the point where they were strong, and therefore that means that even though they were taken care of and they survived, nevertheless, they survived in a weaker state. And the last interpretation here is on the side. You can see here, brought down, and then they bring down a pshat about invertebrates, that Martin Flynn said that invertebrates, if people that don't have bones, live less than 12 months. So that means that anybody went into the teva, they were in there for more than 12 months, they were in there for, right? They were in there for 12 solar months, they were there for a solar year, then they wouldn't have survived. So it has to be, what it means, mishpachotam velohem, is that their offspring survived and not them. And that when they came in, these invertebrate, when they came in, they had children, either were born right away or they were incubating them. Those children came out velohem, but not them, because they could not survive the duration of the 12 months. Alright, so Amar Rav Chana bar Bizna, Amar Le Eliezer l'shem Rabbo. So now we're talking about Eliezer Eved Avraham, says to Shem, the great Shem, which is the son of Noach. So we have a conversation with him. K'tiv, it says, the mishpachotayim yatsu min ateva, atun heichen havitun. How did you guys handle this? How did you do this? He says they came out separately. This is what Rashi says is the introduction. That previous statement is the introduction here, which is that they were fed separately. Every animal was fed separately. According to the Yad Ramo, it's actually the end of the previous statement, which is that they were given foods in the hands of a Kosh Baruch, not the hands of Adam. When they were given handed out by man, they came out weak from the Teva. When they depended on Hashem, the animals were all strong. So that was the end of the previous statement. Rashi was the beginning of this part of the Gemara, which is that how did you guys handle this? I'm like, Tzar Gadol, Ayonu B'teva, says it was hard as anything. Briya, Shadarka L'Echila B'yom, Echlanu B'yom. The animal ate during the day, we had to give it food during the day. Darka L'Echila B'layla, Echlanu B'layla, and we had to give it at night. Hazgita, Loviyada Ava Ma'achla. We had this Gita, which we didn't know, say some sort of animal, that our father Noach did not know what to feed him. Yomacharav Yotiv, Vekab Pale Rimona. One day he was peeling a pomegranate. The Nafal Tulata Mina, and a worm fell out of the pomegranate. Achla, he ate it. Vekavelech, so what did we used to do? We have a Gavalei Chizra, he used to knead for him bran, he mitla and let it rot, and when it rotted, he would give it to him to eat, for his worms. That was where he got his worms, his maggots, whatever he needed to eat, and that's what he gave him to eat. Arya, what about the line Ishta Zinte? He had a fever, so that nourished him. Says that the Gemara believes, why do people's appetites diminish when they have fever? So Gemara believes that Isha, the fever itself is what nourishes the individual. That no less than 6 either days or 6 months, and no more than 12 months or 12 days, whichever way you read it, here, Zina Ishta, that the fever can sustain an individual, can nourish the individual. So over there, Hashem gave the lion a fever so that Noach wouldn't have to feed him endlessly in the Teva, so that he would be sustained by the fever, and that would help him to reduce his appetite. Orshina, Ashkhine Abba, the Gani Bisafna, the Tevuta. This Orshina, whatever his animal was sleeping in the depths of the Teva, where his place was, and his father found him. Noach found him there. Amalei lo ba'it nezune. You don't need to eat. Amalei chazitach tabatrida. I see that you're working very hard. Amina lo terech. I didn't want to bother you for my food. Amalei hey rava lo tamut. There's a shiratzon from Hashem that should never die. Shenemar v'omar imkini egva. That I should go down with my nest. I should die with my nest. Kachol arbe yamim. And I should extend my days like the kachol. The kachol is a phoenix. So I don't know, I mean, it could be either, it could be sand, like my days will be planted in sand, or kachol, it's like the phoenix, the bird, my days will be enumerated, and I'm assuming the Gemara here is associating the kachol with this orshina, that this orshina is this oaf that's called chol, as Rashi points out, so this phoenix, or whatever it is, will live very long days because of this idea that did not trouble Noach when he was in the Teva. Amar Chana bar Levi, Amar Shem Rabba Eliezer. So this conversation, the first conversation was Eliezer to Shem. Now it's Shem asking Eliezer a question. When you had the battle with the four kings, how did you guys handle the four kings? Kadosh Baruch Hu Avraham, Kadosh Baruch Hu came along with Abraham. Well, he was alive. I mean, they do cross. They do live in a similar... They do live. They cross over. In lifespan, they will cross over. Shem lives for an extended period of time.
And about the
battle with the four kings. I'm saying the plausibility of this there is a plausibility that such a conversation took place. Whether it actually took place is a separate issue. But just from their years, it is plausible that it took place. All right, so he says, Hashem came along and placed him on his right side, Rabbi Shadin and Afro, he used to throw the dirt, Rabbi Charve Gilei, and Afro Bechave Charve threw the dirt and became swords, Gilei, Vahave Gire. And then the pebbles or this finer stuff became us arrows. So we had this, our weapon, our special, secret weapon. Shnemar, because it says, the pasuk again here, I don't know why it's not Mizmor David, it's the David Mizmor. Nuv Hashem Ladoni, Shev Lemini. So when it's the David Mizmor, which is that someone is singing to David. Nuv Hashem Ladoni, Shev Lemini. Hashem should be, my master on his right side. Ada Shitoi Vecha. Right, until I make your enemies Adom Laraglecha, a footstool for your feet. I mean that you should sit on my right and I'll take care of things for you. And the same thing, Hashem took care of Abraham, he did the battle for Abraham, could stay on the side. Uchtiv, Mehiir mi Mizrach Tzedek, Ikreo Laraglo, Iten Lefanav Goyim, Umalachim Yard, Iten Kafar Chabo, Kigash Nidaf Kashto. So Mehiir mi Mizrach Tzedek Ikreo, the one who comes up from the east, right, Tzedek Ikreo Laraglo, before him they will call out righteousness, that's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And me is actually modifying the whole pasuk. Me ten lefanav goyim. Who will give before him, or any nation? Which nation will stand before him? Umalachim yard, and it will put down right and put the kings down and destroy the kings. Itain kafar charbo, that the dirt of the earth, the dust of the earth will be cherev, will be like swords. Kikash nidaf kashto, and the straw will be blown before him blown before his bow. But again, the same idea that the kash, or the light stuff with the gile, would also turn out to be gire, will turn out to be arrows. And now you have the very famous story of Nachash Ish Gamzu, which we'll do tomorrow. Famous story that relates to this, this idea of the afar that's thrown that turns into swords. We'll stop over here.